Life's best things need to be believed to be seen. This is Dr. Harrell Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with instant inspiration. Life's best things need to be believed to be seen. Now, let's just take one of those things that need to be believed to be seen and see how it tickles your fancy. Think about this. Life's best things need to be believed to be seen. Now, have you ever seen God? Mm-hmm. No, you haven't.
Myself.
You have seen? No, you haven't. You have seen the human being you call yourself. Now, inside of that human being, inside is the divine being, and inside that divine being is your God self. Now, this outer shell that we have, if we were to say that that's God, we would say, what an interesting God. My goodness sakes. Here's a God of Ingeborg and of Sylvia and of Ellen and Herb and Button and Love and the cats and stuff. And what an interesting assortment, you know. And what is God? God is all, the oneness, the universality. God is unconditional love. Now, have you taught the Sylvia that is in the human form to be unconditional love? Have you taught the Ingeborg to be unconditional love and the Ellen to be unconditional love? No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You do not, Ellen, you do not have the same wonderful, beautiful love for, let's say, a border patrolman as you do for Mariella. No, Mariella is your daughter. She's a lovely girl. And you love her with a human love, a mother love, and you love her with an unconditional love because she is such a fabulous girl. Now, you look at the Border Patrol man and you don't really know him. He may be just as wonderful as Mariella, but you look at him and you say, he is intruding on my privacy. And sometimes he's a little bit pushy, you know, because he feels that his duty is very important, and it is very important. But it's not something that you should concern yourself with. If you concerned yourself with being a policeman or a fireman or something like that, you'd be a very busy girl. You let the fireman do the fireman's work, the policeman, the border patrol, and you just love them and leave them and be just the way they are. When they try to come into your world and make observations or make suggestions, then, of course, you get involved. But they will not come in your world, they will not make suggestions, they will not get involved with you unless you want them, unless you think about them, unless you empower them by your thought to be something in your life. Now, we do this quite often. We empower people quite often to be in our life. And let me just give you a slight rundown of some of the ways you do that. You empower them by reading the newspaper. Every time you read the newspaper, you read about somebody doing something. You're empowering that person to exist in that way. If I would say to you, James Jones, and you'd say, I surround my pure white light of love. Why are you saying James Jones? Well, James Jones just, oh, really? Oh, I surrounded him with my pure white light of love. You mean to say you limit yourself? You aren't going to surround him with your pure white light of love because he did those things? Well, you see, we stop our love every time we know too much. Every time we are judging other people, we are touched by what other people do, and we're possessed by what other people think and say. We're judging, and it's such a silly thing to do because it limits us from being our unlimited, unconditional self. And that's what we want to be, is our unlimited, unconditional self. And the only way we can be that is if we mind our own business. So life's best things need to be believed to be seen. So let's believe that we are God. And then how will we see everything? However we conceive God in us being and God in us seeing. Now, how do you conceive of God in you seeing something? How do you conceive of God in you being something? And then you say, well, I haven't given that too much thought. That's true. we haven't given it too much thought. And because we haven't given it too much thought, it does not exist for us. It does not exist for us. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and you know the answer immediately. How many of you know Dante's Inferno? Yeah, beautiful book. Colorful, dramatic. Who wrote it?
Dante.
Dante. Yeah, Dante wrote it. Okay. Now, what do you think Dante was thinking about the majority of his book? Mm-hmm. Some pretty heavy stuff.
Yes.
He's thinking about some pretty heavy stuff.
Hell.
Now, huh?
Hell.
Yeah. I can go without saying that. You can too. He was thinking about some pretty heavy stuff. But in part of his book, what was he thinking about?
Heaven.
Some pretty heavy stuff too, but some better stuff, you know. But his heaven was an interesting idea of what he thought heaven would be like, mm-hmm. with the angels and the harps and everything else that they had, and as Billy Graham would have, with streets of gold and all that neat stuff. So how could he get from hell to purgatory to heaven and be able to move smoothly from one direction to another? Because he did such a glorious job on hell. He really knew what it was all about from his point of view. And it's pretty bad. And purgatory, my goodness, it seemed like it was worse than hell. Because these were in purgatory, everybody was reaching out for being helped, and nobody was helping them. And they were in very bad straits. And then in heaven, all of a sudden, it's silent and beautiful and peaceful, and there's no problems. Now, did he write a book on that? Mm-hmm. Did he draw pictures on that, or had pictures drawn, however he did it? Beautiful, dramatic pictures. Did he spell it out pretty completely? Yep, okay. Where do you get your idea of heaven and hell? Where do you get your idea of peace and power and plenty and perfection? Well, you get it from within, but you also get it from without. What would be a terrible thing in your mind? A terrible thing in your mind would be to be very ill and hurt all the time, to have a migraine headache all the time. That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? What'd be a terrible thing in your mind to have your loved ones taken from you for whatever reason? A terrible thing in your mind would be all sorts of stuff like that. Okay. The minute I mention any of these tragic things, you immediately visualize it in its completion. You visualize the loved ones taken away. You visualize the illnesses. You visualize these things. And you don't visualize illness. You understand? Mm-hmm. You just visualize the idea of illness as being so unhappy and unfortunate. So, that's what you're believing in. You're believing in this interesting visualization which has no reality, which has no experience except for whatever you give it, and yet you see it very well. And you don't see it at all, but you see it very well. It makes it interesting. Dante has never been in hell, you can be sure of that. Because if he were in hell, he wouldn't be writing the book about it. And he was never in purgatory, nor was he ever in heaven. So he wrote what he thought might be the possible thoughts of it. He may have taken it from books of the Bible. He may have taken it from Revelations. He may have taken it from... But even there, they don't begin to say the things that he did. They don't begin to talk about the things that he did. And it's very interesting. Now, what should we believe in? And we all point to ourselves. We should believe in the divine within ourselves. Okay. If we should believe in the divine within ourselves, and we've never seen it, how do we get connected with it? And if you get connected, how are you sure that you get connected with the divine? How are you sure that you're not connected with some negative aspect that you have been playing with? Because you do, you know. You do. Sometimes you get connected with the negative aspect. Well, I got 6 months to live. And that can be negative and positive. I got 6 months to live, so I got 6 months to enjoy life, and then I shuffle off this mortal coil. Okay. Who gives you that? Well, your doctor. Who gives you that? Your minister. Who gives you that? The judge. You know, and you're going to be put to death in the gas chamber or something like that. This is done for you. Now, can that be changed?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime. Anything can be changed. Even the most difficult thing that in our imagination can be changed. So therefore, that's not what we believe in. That's not our reality. Our reality is whatever it is that is our original purity and integrity. And how do we find out what our original purity and integrity is? Well, it's all the same, yet it's all different. Now, what is the difference? The difference is how we circuitously go to it. The same is when we arrive there, it is the one. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
We take this circuitous road to get there, and when we arrive there, it's all one. Now, we look at Gregor and we say to him, wow, what a great guy, you know, what talent, what fabulous abilities he has. And yet he's taking such a circuitous road to achieve his goal that you say, I wonder if he'll ever get to where he's going, you know. Well, he'll get there. He'll get there, but he's having a lot of fun. Now you here in the monastery, you say, well, I'm taking the straight road, tring, right straight to it. And, of course, that's a joke, too. You're probably going even more circuitous than Gregor is even thinking of going, or than anybody else in the world has thought of going, because you're self-righteous, see? And when you're self-righteous, your road is blocked at every turn, because you see others doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and you're judging. Self-righteousness is merely judgment in its worst way. And we want to stop doing that. Now, how do we stop doing it? Have you noticed Greg, over the years, has been a super guy, always expanding, always being lovable, always being great, but always changing. The Greg that we met this last weekend, a super boy, with a gentleness, a quietness, all of the great desires that he'd had before are no longer sitting out on the surface. They may still be there, but they're no longer sitting on the surface. Now sitting on the surface is delight in everything he does. Delight in the car, delight in the roses, delight in the things, and delight in the people that he's meeting. Because the people are abundant, they're affluent, and they're all doing things that make them happy. And he's learning that. Now, could he ever have dreamed of it that way for himself? Well, let's put it this way. He did dream of it that way for himself, and that's why he created it. Because it started inside of him first. He did dream of it, and that's why he created it. He did dream of it, and that's why he created it. Now, what about you? What are you dreaming about? What are you dreaming about? What are you thinking about living in your consciousness? What are you then there by creating for yourself? Interesting, huh? Think about it. Every little experience that we have is from some little thought that we had about ourselves. How wonderful we are, how great we are, how super we are. If we say how bad we are, we'll have a chance to experience that too. So, I say to you, life's best things need to be believed to be seen. So, pay attention to what you want to believe in and see, and watch how it becomes your everyday reality, mm-hmm. Your everyday experience. I love you, I love you, I love you.